Send a movie idea.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are very simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where sadly it will be lost in amongst thousands and thousands of mysteriously deleted WhatsApp messages. I'm Joel, a man who puts the Tory into what's a factory reset and how do you do that? I must have done it by accident. And across from me, it's John Harris, a man who, for fear of ever being hauled up in front of a select committee, actually prints out every single WhatsApp message that he's ever sent and received. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm going to have to move into
it's the John archive. You have to keep moving into bigger and bigger houses, yeah. Don't you? But the thing is, because of the insulation it provides, you haven't turned your heating on for 5 years.
No, but it's all getting damp, and so I'm going to have to get it all laminated, and I don't know, it's just not worth it anymore.
And it's the money that you saved on heating. I mean, it's nothing compared to the amount you're having to pay that archivist now, is it?
No, all the printers.
You've got to live in archivist.
Yeah. I don't have a printer. I take it to the printers. Did you mention it's on A2 paper?
It's huge because you're getting old now. Your eyesight's going.
Sometimes a single emoji will take up an entire A2 piece of paper. It's important stuff.
Yeah, on those particularly sexy days, John, you've just got reams and reams of aubergines around your house.
When our group chat is on fire, there's part of me that's so happy because it's always lovely to be part of the group chat when everyone's online throwing zingers at each other. Yep. But there's a bigger part of me that's very sad about how much this is going to cost me in printing.
The guy at Staples, delighted to see you again. The last remaining, you're like there's like one Blockbuster video. The one Staples stationery shop is in John's hometown. They can't believe it. Can't believe their luck. Right. Should we do some more Christmas? I was worried that we went too early on the Christmas movie ideas because we did an episode last Wednesday.
Yep.
And that was only just December. And we've still got this Wednesday and another Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we really need the listeners to come good and keep providing us with Christmas movie ideas.
We're out of Christmas ideas, listeners. So please send in some Christmas
ideas. For
the
love of God, send in some Christmas ideas.
Yes, I agree. Maybe we went a bit too early. But equally, I sort of get annoyed when someone releases a Christmassy podcast on like the 23rd of December because there's a good chance that you're not listening to that episode till after Christmas.
So you want us on the episode before Christmas just to not mention it once, pretend it's March?
No, I think we've got enough of a runway, right? The only person who's allowed to release on Christmas Day Christmas content is Adam Buxton. Everyone else, just start talking about depressing January stuff.
Good, great. Get it in nice and early. How about some film ideas, John? I'd like one from you.
What about this one from Hollywood megastar Brett Goldstein?
Whoa!
It's a Chunderful Life. An angel shows a suicidal man how much worse his life would be if he was constantly puking through all his important relationships. He decides to live.
Yeah, that's pretty sound stuff. I think it's absolutely horrible and visceral. And normally, don't you sort of enjoy It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve? Like, you're pretty deep into the Quality Street. Do you really want 90 minutes of back-to-back vomiting?
No, absolutely not. I think this is an objectively terrible idea, Brett. Yeah. I'm glad he's not taking this one to the genuine Hollywood execs.
Well, maybe he has. Maybe he has, and he's grown so tired of knockbacks that this is his last resort.
Is he vomiting because he's getting too on it at Christmas time? There's always a Christmas chunder, right? I'm not saying I always vomit at Christmas, but it's a vomity season, right? Mix that with the flu bugs, and then you got double voms.
I think it might be the least vomity season of the year, because you're just so laden with food. Your Christmas day might be very different to mine, but like, no one's walking around leather just throwing up on each other. Is that a French thing?
My mum froze me a bottle of apple sours at 7 a.m. on Christmas morning.
Right, so It's a Wonderful Life. He's on the brink, thinking about ending it all, until an angel visits and he rethinks everything, right?
Because there's an alternate version of himself that's got it even worse, who's got some sort of allergy to most foods and vomits all moments.
Yeah, and just can't stop throwing up all the time. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay. Maybe if Scrooge just, you know, if they said, look, if you don't change your ways, Scrooge, you're going to shit yourself every Christmas for the rest of your life. That's an equally good incentive, isn't it? Like, there's A, change your ways because it's the morally right thing to do, or B, you will have violent diarrhea for the month of December for the rest of your life. I think the latter is probably more likely to force my hand, to be perfectly honest.
That's true. That's sort of like the incentivization via Santa, isn't it? You know, be good or you don't get your presents, but this is more stick than carrot.
You do reach a point when you've got like food poisoning or you're being really sick where you are sort of on another plane of like, you're hallucinating, right? Yeah. So maybe the whole thing could be a drunk vomiting hallucination. So he comes home on Christmas Eve and he's drunk himself into a stupor and he starts throwing up and throwing up and throwing up and he's in such a state of drunkenness and vomiting and dehydration that it's all a vision that he believes to be real and wakes up on Christmas morning a changed man.
I mean, the last 10 times I've drunk too much, I've woken up the next morning saying, I'm a changed man. So, you know, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the post-credit scene is it's Boxing Day and he's hammered again. I've not been sick for quite a long time. Mm. The last time I was sick, it was one of those classic, you know, when you can't believe it's happening. And so the act of being sick obviously makes you cry, but you're also just laughing about how stupid it is that you're on your hands and knees being sick.
I'm an adult man.
And you're like, yeah. So you're just laughing and crying and you're like, your nose is in a toilet and that's absolutely unbelievable. And sometimes just you're not quite being sick, but then you realize that your head's in a toilet and then you are sick because of that. It's just, yeah, it's so festive as an experience. How about this one from Chris? Kremlins. A geriatric dictator inadvertently breaks three important rules concerning his special military operation and unleashes a horde of malevolently mischievous oligarchs. Can he catch and kill them all in time? Are there enough windows for the job?
So they're tiny little gremlin dictator types.
Oh, I see. Mini-me's.
Yeah.
Okay. Kremlins. They all come out at midnight. Is it midnight? Hang on. Is Gremlins a Christmas thing?
The second one is very Christmas. Oh, maybe it's for... they're definitely technically a Christmas film.
Okay.
But I think in the same
way... I don't remember Gremlins too well.
Die Hard.
Something happens... Is it like something happens after dark?
Yeah.
They don't like getting wet? So, remind me.
So you can't feed them after dark or they turn into the Gremlins. Otherwise, they're those cute little gizmo guys.
Yes, yes. Oh, of course. That's their Christmas presents.
Oh, there you go.
That's
yeah.
why. That's like a Furby thing, right?
Yeah, so they are... Are we suggesting that they're sort of like innocent world leaders until you feed them after midnight and they turn into dictators?
Yeah, they're all the good world leaders. Name 10 of them, John.
I knew you'd do this. You know, the good ones.
The ones we love. All the really good ones. So it's all the really good world. We don't need to tell you, listener.
No,
you're smart. You're engaged
in
politics. You know, just think of your favourite world leaders and imagine them as sort of little action dolls. A la Gremlins, or maybe your favourite of mine, the film Small Soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
And then for some reason, so this year's must-have Christmas toy is small versions of world leaders. That's what all the kids want. You know, we've had Furbies in the past, we've had Tamagotchis, we've had Tetris, we've had the N64, and now it is action figures of your favourite world leaders, all the good guys, as we've established, you know who they are. And what happens is a kid is too impatient to open their insert good world leader here doll. They sneak down in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they unwrap it and they're so excited, you know, to use one of its many features, such as feeding it. And they feed their insert good world leader action doll here and it turns into Vladimir Putin. And Putin then sets off a chain of events where he turns all of, and because they're under the tree of every single boy and girl in the neighborhood.
It's a very rich
family. They all want.
They got the whole set.
No. It's the whole suburb.
Oh, fine.
And they all want insert good world leader action dolls. And so Putin then sets off a chain of events where he turns all of the good ones into, you know, the bad ones. And just think about some of the bad world leaders that you don't like and imagine those as action dolls. And then it's up to the kids of the neighborhood to stop them all before the parents wake up.
I love it. That's quite a good like thing to encourage kids not to open their presents before Christmas generally. The idea they turn into Putin.
Yeah, it's like Elf on the Shelf, but if it was, you know, Kim Jong-un.
I didn't realise that part of the Elf on the Shelf lore is that if you hold it, it loses its magic. So there is a video. Well, because I assume parents don't want the kids moving it around and stuff. It's supposed to be...
They're supposed to
move when they're not sort of being touched and stuff. So there's a video online of like five kids going absolutely nuts, screaming their heads off. And it like the camera's running, you're running down the stairs with the camera. And then all the kids are screaming around this living room. There's just one stood in the middle holding the elf, also screaming.
Have we talked about this? Do you do Elf on the Shelf?
No, we have one. I'm sure, you know, in years to come, we might think about it. It's quite a commitment. Thinking of a new inventive way to move an elf at 24 days.
24 days of, yeah, you have to start pretty mild, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm sure at some point my son or sons will say they want to do it and then we'll have to get him involved. But so far, we've just sort of locked him in a cupboard so he can't get out. And
Is Santa not enough at Christmas time?
Yeah.
You need some little elf guy now. Where does it end?
It feels very American. And I'm not saying that positively or negatively.
Who's the elf?
I assume he's one of Santa's elves, right?
But he's got his escape because he's naughty.
Yeah, he's definitely mischievous, isn't he? Who is this guy? What's the lore of this guy?
What's his backstory? Elf on a Shelf.
He's definitely cheeky at best, right?
He's so cheeky. It's a book from it's an American book from 2005. The book tells the story of a scout elf, that's not a thing, who hides in people's homes to watch over events. Once everyone goes back to bed, he flies back to the North Pole to report on your activities. Before the family wakes up each morning, the scout elf flies back from the North Pole and hides. By hiding in a new spot around the house each morning, the scout elf plays an ongoing game of hide and seek with the family. So that's good, but...
It's like a nest cam.
Clearly somewhere along the way... That doesn't sound like the elf's, like, you know, causing carnage. Pictures that I've seen online, the elf's always in, like, an incredibly compromising position. So I don't know where that's come from.
Who's causing more carnage? Grinch or elf on the shelf?
£85 Grinch or elf on the shelf. John, I feel for you, man. In a couple of years, what are you going to have to do for these boys? You're going to have to be handing some Grinch £100 so he can come and rip up an elf on the shelf in front of your two children while you're dressed as Santa. It's absolutely outrageous.
My next idea comes from Jason and actually is a pun on the same film. So it's definitely a Christmas film.
Okay.
Gremlins, the new Thatch. Californian gremlins swap houses with a bucolic cottage set of gremlins and hilarity and love interests prevail. Plus, Jet Black is a gremlin. So it's the holiday versus gremlins.
Great. Because is the house in the holiday a thatch roof kind of building?
I mean,
I would say that's... way too flammable for a gremlin to be in, right? I feel like the gremlins would cause 2 minutes of chaos and then the entire building would be reduced to ash.
Oh, it's the Chekhov's gun of the film, absolutely. It's the thatched roof, right?
Yeah.
We know that it's getting burned. It's just when.
There's near to where I live in Leytonstone, you've got all your classic brown signs, right? This way for the leisure centre, this way for the football stadium. And then there's one that just says the Thatched House of Leytonstone.
Have you been?
That's interesting, isn't it? I've never been, but that's interesting.
Are you sure your leisure centre is getting a brown sign? That's quite impressive.
I don't know. I just couldn't think of any examples, but I thought the other day that I saw a few brown signs. I couldn't remember what any of them were, apart from... Because why would you?
No.
If there's three brown signs and one of them says the Thatched House of Leytonstone, look, forgive me for not remembering what the other two brown signs were.
No, I apologize.
So I was really reaching there. I'm sure do leisure centres get a brown sign?
I don't think so. No, it's like tourist stuff, isn't it?
Let us know. Tweet us at Dream Factory Pod.
Do
leisure centres get a brown sign?
The best brown sign thing is that meme, like a real sort of your mum's forwarded this email, RE picture where it's one brown sign and it's like Monkey World and Tank World, the same turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The 2-for-1 ticket is absolutely astonishing there.
That's a great day.
The gift shop. They've got a joint gift shop. It's absolutely amazing. Anyway, thatched house, gremlins burn it down.
They fall in love. Like a cute gremlin falls in love with an evil gremlin. There's a sort of Romeo and Juliet vibes going on. It's adorable. Jack Black gremlin does a little instrumental bit at one point, obviously.
He does his rig-a-dig-a-dig.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How about this one from Jack? A Christmas Karen. It's a remake of the classic, but Emma Lisa Scrooge is a classically horrible woman, probably played by Kristen Wiig. Is Kristen Wiig a classically horrible woman? Or could she just turn her hand to being classically horrible quite easily? Rude to waiting staff, parks in disabled bays, drives a big 4x4 in the city kind of vibes. But then the story plays out how you expect. Melissa McCarthy is a ghost of Christmas past. Not sure of the other two. Thanks, Jack. I mean, you wrote more than most people do, so don't worry about it.
But yeah, he lost steam, but there was a lot of steam at the beginning.
A modern day Christmas Carol fairy tale. Look, they're updating that story all the time. I could see it being your classic route to, ask for the manager type.
There's at the end when she's sort of, a goose for everyone. She's also sort of live streaming on TikTok, so it sort of undermines her change slightly.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, she really wants to make it obvious that she's let Tiny Tim keep the fiver extra for the goose. Hey, John.
Yes.
Would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
The Veg of Tomorrow. Tom Cruise is stuck in a Boxing Day leftovers hell that won't break until he cooks the perfect bubble and squeak.
Ooh. I have a big... There's a family drama around bubble and squeak in our house.
Wow.
Do you include... Yes. Well, actually, this could be a drama for Christmas Day itself. Right, do you include cauliflower cheese? Is cauliflower cheese part of your Christmas Day lunch? And is it part of your bubble and squeak?
This is enormous. This is absolutely enormous. I would say cauliflower cheese is non-essential, but welcome if it's there.
Yes. In the bubble and squeak?
In the bubble and squeak.
Or in the roast?
In the roast, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I would say it's not part of a classic Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
But I love it. If it's been made, look, very rarely I'm the one cooking Christmas dinner, so I'm not going to sit around and say, hey, where's the fucking cauliflower cheese? When my poor stepmom's just slaving over an oven. I think there was one spare ring on that hob. Now that I think about it, I think there probably was a little corner of the oven. You could have popped a cauliflower cheese in. So I won't throw my toys out the pram. I'll seethe. I won't join in any of the games or anything for the rest of the day if I haven't had cauliflower cheese. But I won't make too big a deal of it. So no, So are you slicing it up and frying it as part of the bubble and squeak?
Well, I'm not. I'm the controversial one who says a bubble and squeak should remain dry. Yeah. I don't want to.
How many times can you cook cheese? This is a thing you Google at like 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. How many times can you cook cheese? You make the cauliflower cheese. I have it on the side, but that's also... You might as well fucking chop up the cold meat and put that in there as well. Mm. Bubble and squeak doesn't just mean everything. You're not like, oh, hang on, there's a bit of Christmas pudding and some custard. We'll chuck that in there as well. Were there a few quality streets left? Give them, slice up the quality street, put them in a bubble and a squeak. Bubble and squeak doesn't just mean all leftovers. It's very specifically the veg and potatoes. And then have your cauliflower cheese on the side. Have your cold meats on the side. Have your pick a lily.
I couldn't agree
and have
more.
A lovely time.
So I thought that, but my whole family.
Play this tape to your family.
But it's got to the point where, and can I just say, I am not a diva. I will not deceive. I will not refuse to play games. But I have like made it clear that I don't think that's the case. And so now there are two bubble and squeaks.
No, no, yeah. you've got a personal bubble and squeak.
Yeah.
It's a real statement. It's a real, real declaration of whose side you're on, isn't it? When you go up and you have to, if it's like a buffet style situation and you've got what they would deem the correct bubble and squeak and the Harris spin-off. And you have to choose which one to take. That's pretty. Not you personally. Obviously, you've got the set. You're going for the second one. But if I was there, for example, and the invite hasn't come yet, but I'm still waiting for it. Which one would I choose? I'd probably just be polite and have the cheese one. I wouldn't enjoy it, John.
I mean, everyone else is having the cheese one, so I'm having to eat for eight just to sort of make a point. See, this one went as well. It's fine. Oh dear.
Oh wow.
So Tom Cruise makes perfect bubble and squeak, and the secret is not cauliflower cheese.
It's not cauliflower cheese. That's the ending.
Is he? Because he's American. He probably doesn't know what goes in bubble and squeak.
Exactly. He meets a new partner and he goes over to the UK for Christmas. And they, through some sort of circumstance, he ends up having to cook the Christmas dinner. And he hasn't got internet because they're out in the country. And they say, oh, yeah, we like a classic sort of Christmas buffet selection. We like a turkey. He's like, great, yeah, turkey. Potatoes, yeah, potatoes. Vegetables, yeah, great, vegetables. And then they start saying things like, oh, and we love a bit of bubble and squeak. And then Tom Cruise has to try and cook bubble and squeak with the only information available to him being the words bubble and squeak.
This is good.
And every time he gets it wrong on Boxing Day, he just flashes back to Boxing Day morning until he can figure out. He probably would cook a billion things before he figures out what bubble and squeak is.
That's a good film. I would watch the hell out of that. Would you like my movie idea?
I'd love your movie idea.
Jack Frost Nixon. After discovering the president has been wiretapping the North Pole, an anthropomorphized snowman looks to expose the government.
Great. And obviously, it's time sensitive, right? Because he's going to melt.
Yes.
So he has to expose the government before he melts away.
Exactly.
And maybe the very end is like he's testifying in court and all he is like a little snowball with eyes.
They're bringing a bowl. That's so sad.
Much like, and we don't talk about it enough, much like the very end of the film Bicentennial Man.
Oh, we do talk about it enough, Joe.
Robin Williams on his deathbed about to be declared a human. Jack Frost is a tiny, tiny ball of snow and his last breath is providing the evidence that brings down the government. It was originally called the Snowgate scandal until he melted.
Hey. Actually.
Come on. Come on. Well, that was good stuff, man. If you had to pick a winner, which one would be the winner and why would you pick it?
It's A Channel for Life is a good pun.
It's good. I mean, it's not as good as The Veg of Tomorrow, so that is the winner this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back after this music. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe. How you doing?
I thought that was a fun episode of The Dream Factory.
I thought it was a fun episode of The Dream Factory too, actually, come to think of it.
It made me feel very festive and warm and cuddly.
If you want to listen to a podcast that makes you feel warm and festive and cuddly, I would recommend Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown Christmas Special.
Oh, yeah.
Nearly
it's
2 really hours
great.
Of nonsense. Brilliant.
The 12 days of Christmas that they do every year is so, so good. It's absolutely amazing.
I went to a live recording of it a few years ago, and at the end, that was probably the most festive I've ever felt in my life.
You reach some sort of other level of festiveness. Have you been enjoying any other pop culture festive things? Are you getting in the swing of it?
Not particularly festive, although it will get me excited for festivities, which is, I think we discussed this on a group chat, but I can't remember where you stand. I've watched the three Doctor Who specials and the sort of tease of the Christmas episode. Doctor Who came out about when we were like 10, 11-ish or something, I think.
Yeah, the Christopher Eccleston. I was really into it for him and Tennant.
Yeah.
And I sort of fell off. But yeah, is it good? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think you need to sort of accept that it is a family show. So an 8-year-old is got to be able to enjoy it as well as you. And I do think there's a lot of fandom stuff that's like, they're sort of, sometimes that's where they go wrong with like the Marvel-y stuff, is sometimes you're like, they try and be like dark and gritty, but then they also have to be like appealing to kids at the same time.
Yeah.
And just sort of,
so they sort of end up being nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really fun. The three episodes are great. The third episode is absolutely nuts. I'm very excited to watch Kuti Gwatwa as the Doctor, but I will probably just watch Christmas episodes, start a series, and then probably lose steam about halfway through
a
series.
Yeah, of course.
But that's
fine. And that's okay, man.
Yeah.
That's okay. There aren't really many big Christmas releases on my radar this year until the Wonka movie started getting 5 stars everywhere. And now I'm absolutely desperate to see it. I need to find a couple of hours to see it in the next week. I thought it was going to be bad. I felt like all of the build up to it was like, I know it's Paul King and he is a genius and we love him so much. But I feel like all of the run up, when the trailer came out, I feel like it was just widespread mocking of the trailer and everything about it. Everyone thought the Hugh Grant and Pelumpa thing was ridiculous. And then the reviews come out a few days before the film. 5 stars. 5 stars in The Guardian. 5 stars here. 5 stars there. Apparently it's great.
I need to see it.
People think it's the best in people think it's better than Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That is nuts. I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited.
So that's going to be, at some point, that'll be my big festive.
Wait a second. Come in. We've got a guest.
Oh my God. This is so exciting.
Can you say hello, Joel?
Hello, Joel.
Do you have a movie idea?
Yeah.
What's your movie idea?
Happy.
I love it.
We've got a new winner this week,
okay. Guys.
You're the winner. Well done.
Right. We're just going to finish doing the podcast, okay?
We're just getting started there.
He calls it a podcast. He doesn't know what a podcast is.
We were just getting into it then, but fine, you know.
Sorry, mate.
Well, just having a good catch up.
There we go. Oh, a little.
Oh, that was nice.
Little Christmas nugget of childhood.
A little Christmas miracle. What a sweet moment. Go and get all the family, John. Oh, good stuff. Well done, John. Thank you for listening, guys. And we'll see you same time next week. Send in Christmas ideas, for the love of God.
Please. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.